The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Want you to log on to WTMA.com this afternoon at 3 o'clock and purchase a zipline canopy tour for Charleston Zipline Adventures for half off. This is a $79 value for only $39.50. Now, this is a lot of fun, and all of these zip lines, I think the final, when you go through the little zip line course they have there, the last zip is 750 feet. Oh, boy, that's an adrenaline rush right there. So log on this afternoon, 3 o'clock, to purchase a zip line canopy tour at Charleston Zipline Adventures for half off. That is pretty darn awesome right there. Well, it looks like we finally have approval for Sergeant Jasper. Yep, it looks like the Board of Architectural Review has finally approved the beach company and their design that has been, man, I tell you what, this thing's been going on for a while now. Remember we had all of those, the meetings. That one meeting had to be canceled because so many people showed up there on the peninsula, and then we had several designs that were, you know, they were shot down by the Board of Architectural Review, and the beach company kept coming back with design after design after design, and it was costing a lot of money, a lot of money. Well, now it looks like the approved plan will feature a design by Chicago-based Antonovic Associates and Charleston's own LS3P Architects and Design Works. It's going to feature a mix of residential office and retail spaces, which means there's going to be apartments there, office spaces, some stores. It's going to have enclosed parking, and it looks really nice. I'll tell you what, it looks a lot nicer than what's sitting over there right now at the Sergeant Jasper site, because that is just an absolute, it just looks like a big brick shoebox to me. It doesn't fit, and we got several of those here, but this is the one that they've been talking about for several years now. So a couple of years of negotiating and wrangling and going back and forth, maybe finally coming to an end. That's going to be interesting to watch them tear down Sergeant Jasper as they put up this new facility. That'll be something you might want to get out there and take a few pictures of.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 7:19. On the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. Well, if you go out to Charlestown Landing regularly, there's a statue out there that pretty much you've gotten used to. In fact, for the past 40 years, the Landing Brave has been there at the entrance to the animal forest. Now officials over in West Ashley State Park are wondering if the Landing Brave has served its purpose, but there are rumors floating around that the 22-foot wooden sculpture is going to be removed, and that's got a lot of people upset. Now, Phil Gaines, director of the State Park Service, said yesterday that time, weather, the elements have taken its toll on the Brave. It does have some problems. You can walk by and look at it now and see rot, they say. Park officials plan to take down the sculpture in December and do a full-blown assessment on what the next step would be for the Braves. Can it be repaired? Is its structural integrity okay? Or has the Brave reached the end of its life cycle as an outdoor wooden exhibit? Now, Kelly Gaskins lives in West Ashley. She started a petition on change.org, and they say she fears it's going to be the latter, that they're just going to take it down and remove it. Now, what they are saying, I read this yesterday, they're saying this doesn't even look like a Native American that would live in this part of the country. So it's not, I guess, culturally appropriate, I guess we'll say. It was created back in 1977 by Hungarian-born sculptor Peter Wolf Toth. He spent 17 years carving works for every state and Canada in homage to Native Americans. The Trail of Whispering Giants has 57 works in all. That was completed in 1988. Since then, Toth has visited several of the sites to tend to his creations. In 2005, the Landing Brave got repairs that included replacing a missing feather, inserting steel supports through freshly carved crevices, and adding a special wood preservative chosen for its effectiveness and minimal toxicity. So we'll see what happens out there. It's got a lot of people upset. But I think what we might be seeing here is a little political correctness at work, do you think, maybe? It's a Native American statue. They say it doesn't look like any of the Native Americans that would have been in this area. But it's carved out of wood, like with a chainsaw or something. You've seen those cars. I mean, how accurate a depiction do you think you can get with a 22-foot statue? I don't know.
You know, when I first saw that, I said, oh, wait a minute. It must have a tie-in to the Confederacy.
Right,
they're starting to do the same thing now that they're doing in the other states.
Yeah, starting to take down all the monuments. So if you want to go and sign this petition to keep it up, or at least put a little bit of money into it and try to make sure that the thing is well-preserved. So if they're not willing to do that, then you have to know that there's something else behind it, right? If they're not willing to repair it and make sure that it is, you know, safe, we'll say, and make sure that it looks good, if they're not willing to do that and just take it down and remove it, there's got to be something else there, right? Got to be something else.
You know, Charlestown Landing has had lots of changes over the last few years.
Yeah.
Hugo did a number on it.
Right, yeah, it did.
And, you know, there was a dome that was out there, which I couldn't figure out why that dome was out there, because it was not very historic. You know, you got this very historic landmark,
right,
where the first of settlers to Charlestown came in 1640, and you've got this geodome that looks like it's from the future out there. Luckily, that's gone. And I played music in there. It's terrible acoustics.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was happy to say good riddance to that. They had a kind of an underground museum that was there. That was very contemporary. And I think that's gone, but it's been a while since I've been out to Charlestown Landing. So somebody needs to correct me if I'm wrong on that. But then there was a ship that was out there that was a recreation of one of the ships that the settlers came to Charlestown.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And it got to be so bad. I guess it was damaged by Hugo too, and it was just sinking into the marsh or the water that it was at. And they finally got rid of that. So maybe
we'll
this
see.
Is just another casualty of
but
the
you're
elements.
Right. But the thing that you're right about, I mean, this is where Charleston was settled.
Yes.
Originally, before they moved it on up to the end of the peninsula. Why isn't this being better preserved? Why aren't more landmarks and things like that out there? I would love to see maybe a reconstruction of an old village that we may have had out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something. I mean, you go to like St. Augustine. They've got, you know, the world's oldest schoolhouse. They've got the fort there at St. Augustine. They've got all of these historical landmarks out there, or at least recreations of them that I would like to see. I mean, come on, this is Charleston. I don't know if you guys have noticed, we got a little history behind us. Let's go west of the Ashley and talk to Mike real quick. Mike, what do you think?
Hey, I think they should preserve the Indian. He's become part of the history.
Yeah.
If you haven't been out to Charlestown Landing recently, they've really done and continue to do quite a few things.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a new, well, it's not new anymore, but they've got a new museum, and it follows the whole history of the settlement. They've got, in the last few years, they built another boat, and it's down there past the old fortification. They've got a house that was, I think they call it an indentured servant.
Right, yeah.
Similar to what they had when they first moved in. But yeah, it's really nice. They've done a lot of things. I don't know this for a fact, but I think they've got a nice revenue stream, because every weekend they have at least two weddings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Big place for weddings. Mike, I appreciate it. I got to hit a break here. Thank you, buddy. I just hope it's not political correctness at work.
TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. Last night, the port of the Wanda Welch Terminal was shut down and evacuated because of a potential threat. And that was reported aboard a container ship in the port of Charleston here, according to authorities. The Coast Guard responded to the terminal over in Mount Pleasant about 8 o'clock last night, after an anonymous caller and a YouTube video reported a threat in a container aboard the Maersk Memphis. I'm going to play you a little portion of that video, one of the videos that's on YouTube. Here we go.
So this one person was brave enough to come forward. is a representative of five other people who are afraid of reprisals, okay? Mm-hmm. And those individuals are the ones who said the Memphis, this Maersk Memphis is the boat. And that is where in a modality, one of the modalities would be dirty bomb. And that's where it would happen in one of the UAE managed ports. I have reason to believe that Charleston is a UAE.
All right. So those were part of one of the YouTube videos that was on last night by two guys named Jason Goodman and George Webb. And apparently one of those people we're hearing that one person is in custody and has been detained for calling in this threat. Now, the Coast Guard responded to, like we said, a report of a dirty bomb. Not a whole lot of specifics are out there about the call or the YouTube video. We found those online. They say that some of the YouTube videos streaming out there probably mentioned that term, but I don't think the Coast Guard has made a determination or is actively seeking that kind of threat. Well, it wasn't the term. They actually said Maersk Memphis. The ship is currently moored at the terminal where authorities, they had last night established a 1 nautical mile safety zone around the vessel. Now, the Maersk is homeported in Norfolk, Virginia. So they did this last night. But, you know, you get reports of a dirty bomb. That's a pretty scary situation yesterday or last night as they were bringing in, my gosh, just about every agency you could possibly imagine, even down to the Department of Natural Resources. They were there as well. SLED was there, state and federal agencies, emergency teams, EMS, all heading out to the port last night. They had 4 specific containers that they were really concentrating on. They have scanned those for the possibility of nuclear or radioactive material. They have come up clean. So it was a big deal last night out at the Wanda Welch Terminal. As we had those reports of a potential dirty bomb on the Maersk Memphis. Now, I don't know who these guys, Jason Goodman and George Webb, are. They sound like they're wannabe conspiracy theorists or wannabe security experts with all, you know, they've got contacts and all of that. Well, it turned out to be nothing last night. But, well, I tell you what, it's causing a lot of mess around here. That's where we are. Everybody is right now, we're on the edge of our seats, especially with what happened yesterday in Alexandria, Virginia. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Oh, good for Adam. Good for Adam. Going to be having a baby. All right, let's see. Oh, we got some good news, man. I tell you what, Chris Singleton lost his mother during the Emmanuel 9 shooting. Yesterday, he got some pretty good news. He has been drafted by the world champion Chicago Cubs. That's right, world champion Chicago Cubs. He was there at Charleston Southern University ballpark. He said that, wow, I'll tell you what, what a great kid he was. He stood there at the field there at CSU ballpark and really comforted the world and the community with his statements while he was there. Again, his mother, Sharonda Coleman Singleton, was among the 9 people that were killed at the Emmanuel Church AME shooting. He was the final pick of the 19th round and the 585th pick overall. He was cleaning pools yesterday when he learned of the Cubs pick. After his father died back in February, he became the man of the family, and that includes 2 younger siblings, Cameron and Caleb. He and a friend started a... how can you not like a kid like this? How can you not like a kid like this? Little entrepreneur there. He and a friend started a pool cleaning business. He said it was doing one of the pools when his phone rang and his heart dropped a little bit. He answered the phone, and it's been surreal ever since. Singleton's selection thrilled his coaches out at Charleston Southern. That's great. That's great. Good for him. Good for him. Now, he's not a shabby ball player. He batted .332, had 4 home runs, 34 RBIs as a sophomore back in 2016. His junior season, he hit .276 with 4 homers and 21 RBIs. So Good for you, sir. Good for you, Mr. Singleton. Hopefully we'll be seeing you in the majors very, very soon. Did you hear about that guy? And I tell you what, I wish I could remember the details on that because I didn't. But he was playing here in Charleston. And I think he was on the Mets farm team. And they were playing a doubleheader. And they basically called him and said, yeah, you need to go into the River Dogs dugout and put on one of their uniforms because you just got traded. So right there in the middle of playing, he gets traded. Well, I'll give you all the details on that because it's a pretty funny story. And that happens in baseball, especially down at the minor leagues. So more on that coming up. Also, when we get come back at the top of the hour, we're going to be talking more about this statue out there at Charlestown Landing. We'll have that for you in just a few minutes. But I also want to remind you about this zip line deal we got. Log on to WTMA.com this afternoon at 3 o'clock. You can purchase a zip line canopy tour for Charleston Zip Line Adventures for half off. This is a $79 value for only $39.50. It's one of our sweet deals of the week. I've still got some. John, do I have River Dogs tickets to give away today?
You sure do.
Okay, I got River Dogs tickets to give away today, so be aware of that. That's going to be coming up within the next hour, so you don't want to miss out on that. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250, but we do have to tell you that the games are sold out for Tim Tebow and out with the River Dogs. They are sold out. Tomorrow night, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, all three?
All three are sold out. Standing room only, apparently, right now. Everybody trying to get out to see Tim Tebow. So just be aware of that.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 12 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Well, for 40 years, the Landing Brave has been at Charlestown Landing, and now there are rumors that it is going to be taken down, and they will decide what they're going to do with it. A young lady locally has started a petition to keep the Landing Brave. Her name is Kelly Gaskins, and she's on with us right now. Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. How did you first hear about the plans to remove the Landing Brave?
Sure. So I paid a visit to the park on Memorial Day, and I was so excited to take a picture and see the Landing Brave. And while I was there, I was just talking with an employee and just expressed how excited I was to see the Landing Brave.
Right.
I hadn't been there for a few years, and that's whenever I was informed that they were going to remove it.
So you were talking about it, and they were kind of like, well, you know, it's not going to be around long.
Well, and they said, I'm glad you got a picture in front of it because it's coming down soon.
Wow.
And so basically from that point, I just did some more research. I did my best to reach out to the park manager and the assistant park manager and was not successful in reaching the park manager. They told me that he was on permanent leave.
Mm-hmm.
I called for almost over a week to get in touch with him. And then I spoke with the park manager or the assistant park manager, and he just seemed to give me an answer that didn't make a lot of sense based on what I had heard and now also been told by a second employee. So there was a lot of differing stories.
Well, what was one of the stories? What was one of the reasons that they told you for removing the Landing Brave?
One employee said it was because of termites. Another employee said it was because they didn't find the sculpture relevant, historically relevant anymore. So at that point, I decided to try to go to someone in a higher position just to get some definite information.
Right.
And at that point, whenever I contacted the state park's director of communications, she confirmed that it was true, that in fact it was going to be removed. And the reason why is first and foremost because they don't find it historically accurate anymore. And whenever I actually when I spoke to her on Tuesday, she said that it's not historically accurate to Charlestown Landing because it does not depict the Kiowa, the Yemisi, or the Edisto Indians, or any of the cultures that were in South Carolina at the time. And whenever I asked her how did she know this, she said historians. And when I further pressed her and said, have you actually talked to the artist? She said no, and she diverted the question. And, you know, I tried to tell her that I had talked with the artist, and it, in the artist's own words, the sculpture is his interpretation of what the indigenous tribes of South Carolina looked like.
Right.
And so from there, yesterday I spoke with the park director's Bill Gaines, and his exact words were that they had plans to either remove the sculpture to assess it, replace the sculpture, or retire it. And all three of those options would not preserve it as it stands now.
Right.
If he tries to remove it to assess it, according to the artist, it will destroy it.
So you talked with Peter Wolf-Toth?
Yes, he lives in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and he is very, very upset about all this. The park has not reached out to him, and, you know, they have such a unique opportunity to still work with the artist. This was 40
right.
years ago, and Mr. Toth is sharp, and he's still doing what he loves. He's still carving wooden sculptures in Florida. And so, you know, he's willing to come up here and help them assess it and see what preservation is required and to keep it here. According to Mr. Toth, he says that he came back in 2005 to restore it and that it should last 100 plus years with minimal care.
Right.
And so it just doesn't make a lot of sense what the park is saying. And it doesn't seem like there is a lot of focus by the park on keeping it. And it makes me very sad because I think it's important for them to not look at the sculpture with such a disposable attitude.
Right.
This is a treasure that this is a man hand carved and gifted to the park.
Yeah. I mean, there are pictures on the internet of him. I mean, he's got hammer and chisel and he is working away on this. And this is and I don't understand why they're trying to do away with it. They should be trying to, in my opinion, really preserve these, because this is part of a nationwide installation called the Trail of Whispering Giants.
That's right.
To me, this should be a landmark that should be protected.
You're absolutely right. And when people think of Charlestown Landing, they think of the landing grave. It's truly an icon for the park. And the park has an opportunity to work with the artist. They could, you know, do a rededication ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
They could work with the local Native American organizations here in the Lowcountry and Mr. Toth and host a rededication ceremony. And,
right. I think that'd be a great idea.
And, you know, it's something, not only is it representing the Native American cultures in South Carolina, but it also has served as a backdrop to hundreds of thousands of family photos from people all over the world. When
right.
I was there on Memorial Day, there was a family there from India that were taking pictures in front of it and just amazed by the detail. After 40 years, it's just still such a magnificent sculpture.
Right.
So,
well, how can folks sign the petition, Kelly?
Sure. Well, we have a Facebook page, and it's called Save the Landing Brave. You can search that on Facebook, and that will have a link to the change.org petition. You could also Google the petition. It's Save the Landing Brave. It was created less than 48 hours ago, and it has almost 1,000 signatures. But the important thing is our voices have to be heard, because after speaking with Mr. Gaines yesterday, he confirmed that he is the only one that can make the decision of the fate of the landing grave.
Wow, really?
Yes, he says that he is the one that is going to make the decision. He said he's going to base that decision on his experts. When I asked him who his experts were, he said that they were in-house structural engineer experts, a historical expert. And when I asked him if he considered the artist an expert, he did say yes. And I said, have you talked to him? And he said, no.
Yeah.
I said, would you talk to him? And he said, sure, I'm open to it. And so I am going to try to facilitate that. The artist and I tried to reach out to him yesterday on a conference call, and he wasn't available.
Right.
So we're going to try again.
Well, Kelly, good luck with that. I certainly hope you can make some headway, because this was a installation 74 Whispering Giants across the country, and we've already lost a lot of them. We need to save the ones that we can. Kelly, I appreciate it. I've got to hit a break here, but thank you so much, and good luck with your efforts. We certainly, I'm behind you at least. I appreciate you calling in.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
It's 27 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, where we are looking for people to join our team here at WTMA. I want you to dust off that resume. Come dressed to impress and apply for several available positions that we have here. That is going to be Thursday, June 22nd. We're having this job fair. It'll be open from 11 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon here at our WTMA studios at 4230 Faber Place Drive, Suite 100 in North Charleston. We are looking for interns, sales leader, a digital sales manager, promotion assistants. I'm looking at the list. Talk show host. John, I don't see where we're looking for any talk show host. I guess that's a good thing. I guess
we're all full up,
there,
Charlie.
There you go. All right. So come on by here and check out our job fair here with WTMA. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. I just got a message on Facebook from Joe. He says, I swear I'm not trying to be mean, but I don't get what all the excitement is about Tim Tebow. He's a good Christian man, and I appreciate that. Maybe that's the draw. It would be nice if it was, but I just looked at the stats. He's batting .226. One thing's for sure, he sells tickets. Well, here's the deal. That's your job. You know, a lot of people say, I ain't going to go watch a bunch of millionaires play a game. No, you're not watching millionaires play a game. Their job is to make you buy tickets to go watch the game. As long as you're putting butts in seats and people are turning out to see you, your job is secure. I don't care if you're batting 0.00. If people are turning out to those ball games and they're paying the money to buy those tickets, that is your job, and your job is done.
1250 WTMA, the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's Thursday. Already the 15th of June. Halfway through. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Even during the and after the shooting yesterday in Alexandria, Virginia, where the House Majority Whip, Steve Scalise, was injured, and he is still in critical condition. He's going to need more surgery after this shooting yesterday. Even while that was going on, the Washington Post still could not resist going after President Donald Trump. They reported last night that Robert Mueller is, you know, the special counsel, the special prosecutor into the Russian probe, of which there is no evidence whatsoever, and everybody has agreed that there's no evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. Now, when you place a special prosecutor, when you put that person in place, they pretty much have wide-ranging powers. They can go after anything they want. And now, the Washington Post reported last night that Robert Mueller is going to be going after or investigating President Trump on obstruction of justice charges because of this alleged conversation that he had with James Comey telling him to, you know, back off of the investigation. Well, James Comey had told President Trump on three different occasions, and this according to James Comey, that he told the president that he wasn't under investigation. So the president says, you know, I hope you can see your way of, you know, backing off this thing, of letting this thing go, because there's no evidence so far. So why wouldn't somebody say that? Why wouldn't somebody say that to somebody that has told them in private, but refused? That was the only thing that wasn't leaked out of Washington. That was the only thing that did not get leaked out of Washington, was the statements from James Comey that the president was not under investigation. That, for some reason, was kept quiet. So the Washington Post reporting that Robert Mueller is going to be investigating President Trump for obstruction of justice. Now, this morning, the president tweeted out, or a little bit before 7 o'clock, they made up a phony collusion with the Russian story, found zero proof, so now they go for obstruction of justice on the phony story. Nice. So, why did the Washington Post print this? Well, they may have jumped the gun a little bit, and some higher-ups at the Washington Post might not be all that happy with the reporters. Washington Post editors now have doubts about the Mueller in obstruction investigation. The article was what was known as a hush and rush. Now, when you're a reporter and you're writing a story, especially when you are writing it for somebody like the Washington Post, you run that by your editors. And the editors take it to the legal department, especially a story where they have unnamed sources, quote unquote. And then the lawyers will go, yeah, go with it, or nah, this puts us in a little bit of jeopardy. You might not want to go with that story. So they bypassed all of the lawyers on this thing, and they went ahead and ran with the story. Well, apparently the higher-ups have a real problem with this story being released about the possible obstruction of justice investigation. The story never showed up in the morning or afternoon sessions of the Washington Post, bypassed the editorial process that is necessary, and was established to flesh out stories with bad sources. So the Washington Post, this may have been a case of somebody doing one of these hush and rushes, but if it's not, let's just say it's not. Let's say that they did have a source that told them that the president was going to be investigated for obstruction of justice. When is Robert Mueller going to step down as the special prosecutor? He should step down immediately just because of his close relationship with James Comey. They're best buds. They're BFFs. They probably have, matching tattoos on their ankle. It's probably a dolphin with the moon and some stars or something like that. So they're BFFs. And here's Mueller allegedly going to be investigating the president. Unbelievable to me. It really is. How many, have you ever noticed that they always go with these unnamed sources until they get under oath? And then they're like, oh, I don't know. I have no idea what's going on.
WTMA. Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 8 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Let's go to Somerville and talk to Tim. Tim, how are you this morning, buddy?
Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
Good, good. What's up?
Listen, I just wanted to comment about the events of yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, should any of us be surprised by what happened yesterday?
No, not with the way things have been escalating since January the 20th.
Well, actually, I think it was even before
well,
that.
Well, yeah, okay. All right, Tim, what's up?
The rhetoric from the news media, Madonna, the Democrats, Kathy Griffin, the list goes
right
on and on. Non-stop.
Stephen Colbert.
24/7. Exactly. Just nonstop. Berating the president, all it takes is for one nut like yesterday. And trust me, here, and I told my wife this yesterday, the scary thing is, I can assure you there are many more lurking out there than that man.
Yeah.
That is the really scary thing, because this has to stop. The treatment that they gave George Bush is mild compared to what we're
seeing. Oh, absolutely. Right. We've never seen anything like this in the history of this country. The way the media is more than willing to go along with it, and not just go along with it, they're willing to cover it up.
Oh, there's no question. They hate Trump, I think, just as much, if not more, than the Democrats do. You know, I had told you once before, I'm from Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and Nancy Pelosi is from Baltimore. And as I mentioned to you, her father and brother were both mayors of Baltimore. These were gentlemen. These were true patriots.
Mm-hmm.
What this woman, I have no idea what she's turned into. I can tell you this much. If her father were alive today, and her brother still is to the best of my knowledge,
yeah.
But her father would be rolling in his grave because this is so unconscionable. Now, yesterday she comes on and plays the sorry act.
Right.
But she was one of the main conspirators, her and that Maxine Waters and a number of others, in my opinion, creating an atmosphere to basically fuel what happened yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, they're all complicit in this. And for Nancy Pelosi to get up there yesterday, like I said earlier this morning, it made me want to throw up when I heard her say with a relatively straight, wrinkled face that she was praying for Donald Trump and his success and his safety.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I heard the same thing. I tell you what, this, look, they have to realize the people made their choice. This is America. There will be another election. They will have another chance. But as I've mentioned to you before, if they keep up the way they're going right now, and I see no reason why they would stop.
Right, yeah.
They will be completely devastated in the next election, and their chances of regaining the White House will be zero. So I what they're doing is they're basically shooting themselves in the foot. But the scary thing is now we're seeing not just the president affected, but people in his party affected. This is not right.
And those around him. That is what somebody said, that that they need to take him out and those around him. Tim, I appreciate you calling in. So yesterday, here is some of the cell phone audio of the shooting at that baseball practice in Arlington.
Do we know where he's at?
He's behind home plate. You call 911?
I assume people have been calling 911 already. Is that guy okay out there?
And he's talking about Scalise. That's the guy that was out walking his dog around that that practice field in Arlington, Virginia yesterday when this gunman, this guy right here, James T. Hodgkinson, opened fire on members of Congress. Representative Jeff Duncan says he talked to the shooter just before the shooting happened.
I was there at baseball practice this morning. I actually left right before the shooting happened and had an interaction with who I believe was the shooter based on the profile that I saw on TV. I've given a statement to the Alexandria Police Department this morning. After I heard about the shooting, they asked me to come down there because I did have an interaction with someone in the parking lot who asked me if the team practicing was a Democrat or Republican team. I told him they were Republicans. He said, "Okay, thanks," turned around. I got in the car and left, find out that my Republican colleagues were targeted by an active shooter today.
Now, here is a former Washington Post contributor named Jason Fuller. He tweeted this back on June the 11th. Listen to this. "Impeachment is no longer enough. Donald Trump must face justice." This is actually from an article he wrote. "Impeachment and removal from office are only the first steps for America to be redeemed. Donald Trump must be prosecuted for treason and, if convicted in a court of law, executed." When's the last time you heard anybody at the Washington Post calling for a president to be executed? No. And then you see people like Rachel Maddow, which this guy, James T. Hodgkinson, was a big fan of. She was calling for the president to be eliminated and those around him to be eliminated. You want to know who's responsible for this shooting yesterday? It's the rhetoric of the left. It's the rhetoric of these nutjob Democrats like Maxine Waters, like Nancy Pelosi, like Kamala Harris, like Harry Reid. I know he's not in office, but he's still very vocal. Like Chuck Schumer. These are the people that are responsible, and the media, for what happened yesterday. The blood of Stephen Scalise is on your hands. This was all you. Snoop Dogg, it's on your hands. Madonna, it's on your hands. Stephen Colbert, on your hands. I don't care what kind of ridiculous little serious monologue you have about the shooting yesterday, pal. You and your ilk are responsible for this violence. And if it had been the other way around, if it had been the other way around, and this was a Republican right-wing shooter and members of the Democrat Party who were laying out on that field yesterday, bleeding from gunshot wounds, you would have been calling for the heads of every single Republican out there. And you know you would have been. You would have been doing that. This is on your hands. You started this. And now these nut job followers of yours are just picking up your torch and running with it. But no, they want to absolve themselves of being, you know, oh, well, let's make it a gun control issue. Oh, let's make it. No. This hatred, this vitriol came from you. You got what you were looking for, Snoop Dogg. You got what you were looking for, Madonna. You got what you were looking for, Kathy Griffin.